Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and, well, today, why we have with us Deanna Spingola. And Deanna does a great deal of writing. You'll find her articles at newswithviews.com, and she's writing a long series going into the background of really what's going on today, this move away from individual freedom under God towards the totalitarian state. Deanna, thank you so very much for being with us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Well, have you done much in the way of talk radio?
Well, I was actually on your show a year ago.
All right.
And I've done a few, yes.
All right, fine. Well, I'm just going to let you go ahead and talk, and I'll just participate just every now and then. But certainly there's a new article just out today, but we were going to talk maybe about, well, what would you like to talk about? What do you think the most important message is to get to our listeners all across America today?
Well, I am doing a series. It's called The One World Order, or The New World Order. And I'm on about part 18. And it's quite a lengthy series because the New World Order really focuses on every single aspect of one's life, from religion through medicine, politics, law, just every aspect of a person's life.
But of course you can't have freedom when you have these people who want to control every aspect of our lives. The two are incompatible.
Exactly, exactly. And of course the New World Order does control the media, and so if you can control the media, you can shape people's perceptions about everything, including religion. And when you called me, you asked me if I would be willing to talk about religion and the religious right, and I have written about 5 articles about religion. I am a Christian, and I believe that the religious right, as it's known, has been kind of hijacked, and it's unfortunate. And this was very, very deliberate. It wasn't something that just happened. And it happened several decades ago. And one of the first religious superstars was Billy Graham. And in about 1949, there was this preoccupation with the communist menace. And he also had a group called the Graham's Youth for Christ. And so the media at that point in time, the media, as was known through William Randolph Hearst and Henry Luce, who was a Skull and Bones member, promoted Graham and his conservative message. And now there's nothing wrong with conservatism. But at the very same time, Kinsey was promoting the other end of the moral spectrum. And he was being launched onto the media stage. And so what was happening was that you had these two opposite views. And then there was a fellow by the name of Paul Weyrich, who was just an exceptional organizer, got together with a fellow by the name of Joseph Kors, and they established a group called the Committee for the Survival of a Free Congress. And it's currently known as the Free Congress Foundation. Now, this is financed by Kors and assisted by the skills of a person by the name of Richard Diggory, who wrote a book and was called The New Right We're Ready to Lead. Now, their intention was to network with other right-wing activists and to actually change society. They wanted to examine public policies in the social and family areas and then to conduct a lot of studies, the electoral process, and then change society. And they began this by contacting some religious people.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest this afternoon is Deanna Spignola, who's written an extensive series, and you'll find it at newswithviews.com. That's newswithviews.com, Paul Walters' website. And I suggest you read it. She writes very well. She's very provocative. She's talking about the religious right and the part that it has played and where we are today. Now, she was pointing out that back in the late 1940s, why Billy Graham was simply an itinerant evangelist until William Randolph Hearst came along. The William Randolph Hearst, an internationalist, part and parcel of what I consider the Brotherhood of Darkness, put out orders to all of his editors to puff Graham. And this is well known. He set out a directive, puff Billy Graham. So they begin to build up Billy Graham, of course, as the leader, the religious leader of America, just as today, why they are puffing the gentleman from Rick Warren from the Saddleback Church. He has been picked by Time Magazine as the America's pastor. He's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and a number of other internationalist groups, but Rick Warren is now replacing Billy Graham as the religious leader of our country. And then Deanna was talking about how, about the same time, why Paul Weyrich, who is, you know, basically, I think, has always wanted to do right, figured that they could begin utilizing the Christian church, and he and Paul Weyrich and others began to try to mobilize the Christians in this country to try to take back our culture, because even at that time, they could see how the influence of Kinsey, the moral depravity financed largely by the Rockefeller Foundation, was beginning to undermine the very fabric of our society. So, Deanna, you pick the story up from there.
Right. Now, Kinsey was, as you mentioned, that he was financed by the Rockefeller Foundation. All of his research, all of his support, all the things that he needed to have in his research in Indiana came from the Rockefeller Foundation.
But of course, they didn't want the American people to know that. They did everything to conceal this because this was supposed to be science. It really wasn't science. It was an effort to change the moral fabric of our society.
Exactly. The same way that the feminist movement, which Gloria Steinem started, and she was also financed. Actually, she was financed by the CIA.
I think that's so fascinating. Most people have never known that, but I'm sure you're absolutely right. Gloria Steinem, who created the feminist movement, financed by the CIA, by our tax dollars to begin to destroy the fabric of the American family. And you can see the end result of how efficient they are today.
Right, and this...
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Deanna was just pointing out that certainly Kinsey was financed by the Rockefeller Foundation. That's Alfred Kinsey and his effort to destroy the morality of our society. Gloria Steinem, financed by the CIA to create the feminist movement. And, of course, the CIA and the Rockefellers, of course, interlock in the Brotherhood of Darkness. You pick up the story.
Right, and her magazine. Ms. Magazine was also financed and promoted by the CIA. They paid for it and promoted it. And so basically with her charisma and all the media attention that she was getting, she really attracted a lot of people who maybe weren't so happy or maybe didn't think they were happy, but then after they listened to her, they thought, well, you know, gosh, maybe I'm just not happily married. Maybe I'm being taken advantage of. And she really promoted the breakup of the family. And just a short time later, then you have the Supreme Court okaying abortion. And this created a horrible, horrible moral situation. And so this was the perfect time for the religious right to get mobilized. And that is what Weyrich did. And he went down, he met with Jerry Falwell. And actually, he is the person that created the moral majority. Now, Jerry Falwell was just a preacher. He had a church down there in Virginia, in Lynchburg, Virginia. And he was really not looking to criticize society. He said, our job is to repent, our job is to clean up ourselves, our job is to clean up the inside. We've got to work on ourselves. And he wasn't going after society, but then after he talked with Paul and with Richard Viguerie, and they got together these mailing lists. You know, this was something that, it was media attention for him. This was going to build him, both financially and in popularity. And so he went along with this, and a lot of the other churches that he gathered together around his church, they became very, very influential in politics. And I think that everybody should be involved in politics. And politics is wonderful, religion is wonderful, but when you mix the two together, it can be very dangerous. And Hitler actually attempted to mix the two together. In fact, there was a fella that put out the 14 points of fascism. And one of the points that he mentioned was that in regimes where there is a predominant religion, that if the military defenders and the propaganda that was used, if they could give the perception that that religion was being attacked, that it would bring, people would go on the defensive, and then they would ask for the religion to be protected, and they would implore the government to do something to protect that religion. And I think that we can see that happening now, where we see kind of a mix of religion and politics. And I think that our political leaders have used, for instance, abortion. Many, many, many of our people have run using that one issue. They've politicized abortion. And they'll run on that and say, oh, we're going to do something about it. And you have Supreme Court justices who have been installed because they've been, you know, anti-abortion. And they get in there and the politicians get elected and nothing ever happens.
Well, that's, of course, because they're using that. So the Republicans have controlled the House of Representatives and the Senate and the presidency for 6 long years and done absolutely nothing
absolutely
on the abortion
nothing.
Issue. It was a good, great talking point to rally the people behind the leaders.
Sure.
And rally them behind their war and rally them behind the torture and rally behind the lies that they've been told by the so-called godly leaders of our nation, and because, of course, they were supposedly got to stop abortion and protect little children. It's such a heartrending thing, that thought of it destroying the life of a child who will never have a chance to run or sing or laugh, and it does pull at your heartstrings. And I'm totally against abortion, but I see the way that this has been used by the leaders of the Republican Party. And, of course, instead of really being concerned about it, it was all pat the Christians on the head. And
right.
Then they'll be quiet. And then they'll back us as we spend this country into oblivion.
Right.
As we massively increase government power over their lives, as we pass totalitarian leadership. But as long as we say we're pro-life, they're never going to actually go ahead and say, well, but why haven't you done anything?
Right.
Why didn't you even try to do anything? Oh, well, we never could have gotten it through the Congress. They didn't even try. It was all just smoke and mirrors.
Right, right. There was I wrote a piece that's called Disclosures of an Insider, and it actually hasn't appeared on News with Views yet, but there is an actual program where they decided that there would be several points that they would attack. And one of the things that they said about abortions, the fellow that wrote this piece, actually he was a doctor, an obstetrician, no, a pediatrician, and he gave this talk at this group of about 80 other pediatricians, and he said, now, you know, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to tell you where we're going to focus on so that you'll be ready for the change. And he said, one of the things that we're focusing on is abortion. Now, everybody's going to be against abortion. And then there's going to be some people whose own children are going to find themselves pregnant. And then they're not going to be against abortion because it has to do with their own child. And then pretty soon people are going to start accepting it as just a common fact of life. And he says those few people who still object to abortion are not going to matter anyway.
Now, is that the story that was told by Dr. Dunnigan?
I believe it is, yes.
Yeah, we actually have him. But he wasn't in favor of this. He was furious when he heard that this was the plan. We have a four-tape set of interviews with Dr. Dunnigan called The New Order of the Barbarians.
Right.
It's a must listening for everybody out there who wants to understand there is a master plan. And Dr. Dunnigan sat and witnessed and heard this whole plan laid out. And he gave a number of interviews, including one with me. And so we have a four-tape set and the transcript of that, what he described as what he had actually heard. Go ahead. I think that's so important. And that was really such a great point, you see. They figured, look, you know, what we're going to change the morals of our society. And then all these parents who are so anti-abortion, but what are they going to do when their 13-year-old daughter is pregnant?
Exactly.
Why would they going to let her destroy her life? Or, you know, it's such an easy thing just to have the abortion, and that'll take care of the problem. And then, of course, they compromise their principles.
Right, right. And after you once do that, it's just, and you must admit, I mean, we are probably, the percentage of Christians in this country is probably 85% or more. And there's been close to 46 million abortions since 1973. Somebody's having those abortions. It isn't, you know, some Christian doctors are performing abortions. Some Christians are getting abortions. I think you have to admit that, and it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. And I think that people are looking at it not rationally, thinking of it as a human life, but as, oh, it's my choice. And since the law, since the court has made it legal, then somehow that makes it okay. But legal is not moral. And I think that's a big difference. But so many young people have grown up knowing that abortion is legal.
And nobody ever tells them the other side. You will never see on a major television station anywhere in America pictures of the little arms and legs torn off of those children. They refuse to show them. Oh, we couldn't do that. It would upset people. Well, it ought to upset people.
They won't
even sell the pro-life group's time on television stations to show that. Why? Because one picture is worth 1,000 words.
Right.
And we've killed 46 million children. And now we have to bring in all the illegal immigrants from other countries. We have to violate the laws of our land to bring in the illegal immigrants. So there'll be people paying into the Social Security system. So there'll be people to do the jobs here. Go ahead.
Right. And I think that's, too, part of the creating of the North American Union.
Right.
So anyway, when a candidate gets ready to run, when he's out there campaigning, he's going to present himself the way that people want him to be. In other words, a candidate, depending on what group he's in front of, he's going to be their guy. And presidential candidates have hired religious people to train them. Now, George H.W. Bush hired a person by the name of Doug Weed. And he was a consultant, and he was hired by George H.W. to galvanize religious right.
And he certainly, he taught him well, because I was with the group that interviewed George W. Bush when he was still governor, and he could talk Christian. He's with the best of them. He knew all the right things
to say. Absolutely.
To convince the Christian, the leaders, that, and don't ask me what I was doing there, because I'm certainly not a leader of much of anything, but yeah, it was amazing to hear how he could talk just like a Christian. He knew all the answers to Christian questions. Of course, when somebody asked him if he'd sign a bill that was unconstitutional, he said, "I don't understand the question." And when they reverted, he said, "I'm going to have to think about that. See, should I sign a bill that's unconstitutional? I'll have to think about that." Ladies and gentlemen, that man is today the President of the United States. No wonder we're in so much trouble. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Deanna Spingola, as she talks about how they are using religion. And I think there are many, many good people within the Christian conservative movement. I know them, I love them, but I think that we've lost sight of really what this is all about. We're going to be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, Deanna, go right ahead.
Well, George W.'s father hired the same guy. He hired Weed also. But he wasn't as proficient at picking up the lingo as George W. was. And
well, you know, that Hillary now has hired
a
conservative Christian, so she can appear to be a conservative
Christian,
too.
Exactly. Is that amazing?
I mean, talk about hypocrisy.
Just amazing. Amazing. Well, after post-election, there was propagandist who also created the words that he should say, like the axis of evil and crusade, and Bush used the word crusade 5 days after 9/11. And he said, you know, this is a new kind of evil, and we've got to understand this, and this war on terrorism is going to take a long time. And he built this as a religious function.
I don't know if you've noticed it. It's no longer the war on terror now. We're fighting the radical Islamists.
Oh, exactly, yes.
But, of course, the trouble is the radical Islamists is the true form of Islam because, of course, Muhammad was a terrorist. He fought 75 different wars or battles, and he advocated jihad. That is the very essence of Muhammadanism. So we're not fighting radical Islam. We're fighting true Islam. The only good thing is there are an awful lot of bad Muslims out there who don't want to go along with that, but when push comes to shove, they're going to have to push one side or the other because we're going after all those bad Muslims, all those evil Muslims. And they've come up with a new term now. You'll see it in the paper. Islamofascists.
Right.
They created the new word. Why? Well, now we can equate Islam with fascism, and that's why we've got to kill them all.
Oh, terrible, terrible. We're creating hate. And that's another one of those points of fascism, is that we have these enemies that we have to go after.
Right.
And meanwhile, we're killing our own people with the depleted uranium. We have our military going, you know, thousands of miles away. And basically what they're doing is that they're putting money into the pockets of Halliburton, into the pockets of Bechtel, into the pockets of the people who own stock in those companies. And
go right ahead.
And so this is a war not it's a war to make money. That's what all war is about, to make money.
Don't forget about Carlyle, of course. Carlyle's a very
big
player.
Absolutely.
In fact, it's very interesting. The two men who really formed this organization, one was Frank Carlyle Jr., and the other is a man whose name should be very familiar to people. His name was James Baker III.
Absolutely.
He is the head, the leader of the Iran Study Group.
Is that ridiculous? Is that ridiculous? To bring in the very people who cemented this kind of mentality, to bring them in now to have to get information from them or counsel from them. And I mean, it's like the Warren Commission or like the 9/11 Commission. You have all the people who would do everything they can to keep everything secret, to cover up, to just cover everything up. And but all war is to make money. From the Civil War on, it's been to make money and to deplete the population. I mean, war has two functions. And well, it actually has more than two. But one is it's population control.
Hold on, we'll be right back here. Well, yeah, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Deanna Spigdola, and she's pointing out that some people make an awful lot of money off of the war. A Bechtel Corporation, Halliburton, which until recently was paying a deferred salary to Vice President Dick Cheney. I don't understand that. Some people might think it was a bribe. I never heard of anybody getting a deferred salary after they came to work for government, but then who is going to challenge the Vice President and his integrity? And then, of course, Carlyle Group, and I was just pointing out that Carlyle Group was formed by two people initially. One was named Frank Carlucci, former Secretary of Defense under the Reagan administration. The other was a man named James Baker III, who was recently picked by the president to head the Iraq Study Group, the IRG. So go right ahead.
Right.
ISG, go ahead.
And George H.W. Bush was also a part of the Carlyle Group. In fact, on the morning of 9/11, I believe, they were meeting in a hotel. And Bin Laden, not Osama, but his brother, met with them. And they were having this meeting. And the Bin Ladens and the people that were with this group were flown out of the country. And that was during the time when there was nobody else could fly. And yet they were speedily flown out of the country.
Well, I'll never forget the mid-1990s. One of my friends called me and told me about the Carlyle Group. Nobody had heard of it at that time. And he says, there's got to be a war in the Middle East. And I said, why is that? He says, because Carlyle has bought the rights to build a Bradley fighting vehicle and the mobile howitzer. And these things would not be useful, you know, in a jungle warfare. You'd only use them, of course, in desert warfare. And then, they changed the uniforms from the traditional green fatigues to the sort of the desert camouflage. Everything, the plans were made for this war long before 9/11. And Carlyle knew about it. And, of course, they were making the Bradley fighting vehicle. And of course, the military didn't even want the howitzer, but they got their money back. They got some of them made. I've forgotten what it was, but they had a boondoggle. They knew the war was coming, and, of course, they were ready to profit from it.
Certainly, and it was really just an extension of the Gulf War. The Gulf War really never ended, because after the actual war was over, or they said it was over, they put sanctions against these people.
And they killed 500,000 children.
Right.
They killed 500,000 Iraqi children. And where was the outcry from the religious leaders of this country?
Exactly.
And of course, Madeleine Albright was asked if it was all right to kill 500,000 children, you know, to keep the sanctions on Iraq. And of course, she said, well, I think it was all right. And yet, of course, if you read the book we carry called See No Evil by Robert Baer, who was the only the leading CIA official in Iraq during the 1990s, working in Kurdistan, he said he never met an Iraqi citizen who did not believe that the United States was keeping Saddam Hussein in power.
Oh, the CIA recruited him early on,
right,
and put him in power. They supported him financially. They helped him to get rid of a lot of the leftist people in his country through murder. And up until when he went into Kuwait, and he told them he was going to go into Kuwait, and the ambassador over there didn't say no, didn't say anything about not going into Kuwait.
She actually encouraged him.
Encouraged him to go.
Her name was April Gillespie.
Right. And so they went into Kuwait. And that gave George H.W. Bush an excuse to go in there, to go into Iraq.
Yeah,
and he was set up. Saddam was set up. And
that doesn't mean he was a nice guy. He was a gross murderer, but we had financed him after he had already killed 100,000 Kurds with the poison gas made from the chemicals that we had given him and financed him.
Right. Rumsfeld was over there doing business with him, shaking hands with him, and supplying him with all the biochemical weapons that he needed. And I'm not sure what happened. Maybe he decided that, you know what, I'm not going to go along with this one world order group anymore. I'm not going to let them have the oil. I'm going to nationalize it, or whatever he did. But something happened where he fell out of favor with the new world order.
Or maybe they just wanted the war. Now, if you're out there in the listening audience, you say that couldn't be true. You give us a call, 1-800-544-8927. We'll send you an article out of the Washington Post that tells everything Deanna has told you. We gave him $5 billion. $5 billion. Oh, shucks, it never got repaid, but that's all right. It was used to create the best enemy money could buy. After all, if you're going to have a war, you have to have an enemy. And you say that's a terrible thing to say, but you go back and you look at the history of this last century, and time after time, why American corporations financed Adolf Hitler, and they financed, of course, the Russians who financed the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War while the Vietnamese were killing our men. Well, Deanna, go right ahead with the story.
And so you have to wonder. You have to wonder, what is the purpose for all of this? Basically, the proponents of the New World Order, the One World Order, want to destroy our Constitution. They want to do that by propaganda, by brainwashing, by reversing history, by promoting a lot of falsehoods so that the people, the populace themselves will ask for change. And this, we have mass persuasion by news commentators, teachers, church leaders. We even hear that we live in a democracy, which is not true. We live in a republic. And even our government leaders tell us we live in a democracy. And, you know, if you hear something repeatedly over and over and over, then we begin to believe it. But our individual rights are absolutely being taken away from us. At the beginning, after 9/11, we immediately had the Patriot Act, which was something that Clinton tried to pass. He tried to get that through. But it took our vulnerability, it took 9/11, it took a new Pearl Harbor in order for us to accept this. We were willing to give up our freedom for a measure of security. And as we speak, we are losing our rights. In fact, Bush just signed a signing document where he can now, where the government can now, he signed this on the 20th, I believe, of December, where the government can go through our mail without any warrant. They can look at our mail.
Well, they've been doing this sort of thing for a long time.
From echelon.
They have been tapping the telephones of every American for well over 25 years through a project known as Echelon, and anybody
right.
can go up on the Internet and look up Project Echelon. They've been reading the emails. They've been reading the faxes. It's all done by computer. And then, of course, something comes up. Why, then they have some human being go over. It's done through the NSA, the National Security Administration. So they've been violating the laws for 25 years, but now with the terrorist attack, it's so fortunate because now we can justify this in the name of fighting terrorism.
Right.
They're not only tapping every phone call in the United States and in Great Britain, but every phone call in Europe and Asia and all throughout the world. And the average American has no idea this, because Rush Limbaugh is certainly never going to tell you, nor Sean Hannity, nor Brian Williams,
any
of the establishment people. You're not to know that they are collecting dossiers on you today. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Deanna Spignola, and she's been talking about how, really, of course, they're opening our mail, they're checking our mail, they're listening to our telephone calls, reading our emails and faxes, and it didn't begin with 911. They were doing it before that, and I just mentioned it's Project Echelon. Go up on your Internet. We want you to prove us wrong. You go to the Internet and Google in Echelon and read about Echelon. Been going on for at least 25 years for the NSA, and the whole world knows about it. It's just that the American people don't know about it. So you go right ahead, Deanna.
We really do live in a censored environment. People will listen to those individuals that you mentioned, Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and some of the other people, MedVed, and they actually believe that these people are conservative and that they have the individual's best interest. But these people are really government shills. They really are government shills. They are not telling the truth.
In fact, it's so funny, you know, because Rush Limbaugh attacks anybody who ever talks about the Council on Foreign Relations and this idea somebody wants a world government. MedVed had a diatribe this last week about anybody who is a crazy. You can tell these crazies. They
talk
about
the name-calling and the hatefulness that he uses.
And they think that they're trying to create a North American Union. And they're trying to build a big highway up to Texas. And they're trying to tear down our borders and allow the illegals to come in. How could anybody be so stupid as to believe that?
He's so authoritative in the way that he talks, and he says, he claims that this is the greatest nation on God's green earth, and I'm thinking, we are over there killing innocent civilians. How can people tolerate this? Why why do we tolerate this?
And why are we concerned about the 500,000 children we killed before 911?
Right, right. And there's a recent study that says that as many as 655,000 Iraqis have died as a result of the invasion in March of 2003.
The study came out of Johns Hopkins, and I think it's probably fairly authoritative. And we don't know how many he killed in Afghanistan, but do we really care?
Exactly.
Do we care about torture? Do we care about the people who are dying? Men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And where are our religious leaders speaking out against us? This is what bothers me more than anything, Deanna.
Right.
Our religious leaders are refusing to speak out, and when I go to the meetings where all the religious leaders are there, and nobody will speak out.
Anyway, and they say they're pro-war. And if you did speak out, if somebody in a church pulpit spoke out against the war, then the IRS could go in. But those people who are promoting the war are just fine. How can you promote a war? How can you call yourself a Christian and promote a war?
Well, I think that you have a right to defend your country, but
absolutely,
America is not under attack.
We're
Iraq
not.
Iraq was not attacking us. Afghanistan, the Taliban were being funded by our government right up until September 11th. Why would we have been funding the people who were giving sanctuary to Osama bin Laden? And nobody ever asked that question.
And in fact, we created the Al-Qaeda. We created Taliban. Taliban means student. And we actually created them. We created the group of people that were fighting the Russians in 1979. We wanted to give them their Vietnam. We wanted to weaken them and bring them down. Well, not we, but the One World Order. They want an end to all nations. They want to weaken all nations, so that we will look to a government entity, a one world entity such as the United Nations, for help or for security. And a lot of the people that are fighting that join the service now, they are fighting under the UN. They're not fighting under, you know, the United States anymore. A lot of them wear a different hat, and they're fighting for the UN.
Or, of course, in Afghanistan, about half the NATO forces there are actually Americans who are fighting under the NATO banner, and then the other half are Americans who are fighting under the American flag. But, you know, the thing that nobody ever questions in Afghanistan is who is financing the Taliban today, here in January of the year 2007. Why, they're operating out of Pakistan. They're being funded by Pakistani intelligence. And who is funding the Pakistani intelligence?
Yeah.
Why, you are, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
The American government is giving $600 million we know of to Pakistan, and how much we're giving the Pakistani intelligence to the black budget, we don't know, but somebody has to fund and finance and train the Taliban.
Right.
And they're being trained and funded by Pakistani intelligence, which is being funded with our tax money. It's Vietnam all over again, and nobody wants to say it.
Right. And the drugs are back. When the Taliban declared no more drugs, they couldn't grow poppies, but now that we've invaded them.
Now we got rid of the wicked Taliban. Why, now that the poppy fields are blooming
exactly.
And we control the country, and we just can't do anything about growing the poppies, because then, of course, we'd get everybody mad at us.
Right, and then so now we've got poppies, or we've got heroin coming into the country, and now we can have prolong our war on drugs, the war on drugs.
Right.
See, we always have to have something to fight that will take our tax money and take our attention, when in fact we're the ones that are, the CIA is the one that's entity that's bringing the drugs there.
That's so hard for people to believe, but we have a book written many years ago. It was called Kiss the Boys Goodbye, the Story of Vietnam.
Right, right.
We carry that book. We have it available in the secondhand copies now, and you can get it along with that in our four tape set on Vietnam, or the men we left behind. We prefer that tape set to go with that story, because we interviewed the author. The book was suppressed for many years. Somebody shredded 5,000 copies of it.
You have that book.
But we have the book
and
hard copies available. And we have the other book Monica wrote called The Spite House. We have that in softback. And they're all secondhand copies, but at least right now they're good. And if you want them, you can get them at Collings 1-800-544-8927. But it goes into the CIA involvement in drugs during the Vietnam War and how many of the bodies of our servicemen, they simply gutted them, they eviscerated them, and packed the bodies with narcotics when they shipped them back into America. And who would ever think of the of violating the body of one of our brave servicemen who died over there. Ladies and gentlemen, we're dealing with organized evil. When you understand that, you understand why, when we control Afghanistan, they have the biggest bumper crop of drugs in all Afghans' history. I guess our invasion has accomplished something, hasn't it?
Right, right. What an awful thing. And you mentioned evil. We really are dealing with evil. This, we are, you mentioned in your book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which I recently just read. And I love that book.
I'm glad you did. Thank you so much.
I just love that book. And you indicate that, yes, we do have dark forces. We do have secret societies. And any country that harbors secret societies is ripe for destruction. Because those secret societies are out to get gain. They will do whatever they can to take over the resources, our resources, other countries' resources. And that's what this is about, too, is war allows the winner to get the resources, to control the resources, not necessarily to share it and to make those resources available, but to create scarcity so that they control us. Now, they're not going to go over to Iraq and let all that oil flow back into America and reduce the price that we pay at the tank. But they're going to keep it in the ground so that they can control us.
And, of course, the most amazing thing is, Deanna, when we went over there, we were going to go over there so we'd have that oil. Well, we went over there, and actually the amount of oil that was available on the market went down. And as soon as we went in, of course, the price went up. And the price was never as high as when we, of course, were in Iraq. And everything we were doing was to cut off Iraq's supply of oil to the rest of the world.
Right.
How could you do such a poor job unintentionally? And now, of course, the prices came down, but they brought the price down just before the election because they didn't want the American people to be upset. But I promise you that I really believe, and I could be wrong, of course, but I believe in 6 months we hear why you're going to be paying $3 to $4 a gallon for your gasoline. And then, of course, the sky's the limit. $3 or $4 a gallon, probably 6 or 8 years from now, will be looked at as the good old days. And they're really going to price us right out of driving our cars, because that's what they want. They want us to conserve the natural resources. They've risen up the price of electricity and natural gas. They don't want us using up their natural resources.
Right. And that's... they also promote the theory that we're overpopulated,
right.
And so abortion is something that they would promote, as well as doing away with people maybe who are handicapped or old or no longer work or no longer produce of little value, or people who they think have little value, certain ethnic groups that maybe they think have little value. And it's a terrible, terrible thing. It's interesting that what they called the Iraqi invasion, they called it Operation Iraqi Liberation. O-I-L. And I think that has to be some weird sense of humor that somebody had. Perhaps Karl Rove came up with that. But that's basically what it was about, I believe.
All right, fine. Well, Chris, the tragedy is that there should be an outcry all across America what's going on. And because they control the media, why you're not hearing about it, there are a lot of people out there that are concerned. I think the majority of the American people are concerned. But there is no leadership, and there should be, certainly within our religious organizations, in our conservative organizations, in our Republican organizations, and even in the Democratic organizations. In fact, the Democrats are saying a lot more against this war than the Republicans are.
Right, and they're being called anti-American, which is not right, which is not right at all. And you also have the media dividing us, saying, oh, the liberals are this or they're that, and the conservative, you know, we do have a censored media, and it's controlled by maybe 10 different companies.
The latest figure is 5. We have a book called the New Media Monopoly, written by Professor Ben Bagdakian, and 90-95% of the media is controlled by 5 mega corporations. Today, the New Media Monopoly, everybody should get it and read it and understand how they control what the American people think.
Oh my goodness. And we think we're getting the truth. And the Germans, they thought they were free too. They thought because they had certain freedoms that they were okay. And they didn't know what was going on in their country. When I was a child, when I was like 14, I read about the Holocaust. And I thought, why didn't the German people do something? Why didn't they stop their government? And we have to ask ourselves now, why don't we stop our government? When Hitler went into Poland in September of 1939, we think, well, why did he do that? And that was a facilitated invasion. The Polish people weren't coming in and invading Germany, but the media said, yes, they're coming in. They captured a couple of Polish people, dressed them up in some German uniforms, and put them over the border, and then Hitler went in and devastated the country. You think, well, why didn't the Germans say something? It's because their media, their propaganda organization, is told them the same thing that ours is telling us.
But of course, the ministers went right along with it.
Oh, absolutely.
That was a great tragedy. And we carry a wonderful book by Dr. Erwin Lutzer of the Moody Bible Church in Chicago called Hitler's Cross, and every Christian in America should read that book.
Well, the soldiers, the German soldiers, on their belt buckle said, what did it say? It said, fighting for Christ or something like that, with Christ, myth something. But basically, and also, sometimes they were actually sprinkled with holy water before they went into battle. And Hitler used Christianity to gain support, to gain influence. And the people went along with it. The people there were used to abiding by their authority figures, and they believed what they were told.
And of course, the thing that the Nazi movement had its foundation in the occult, in a secret society called the Thule Society.
The Thule, right.
And
right.
Of course, we have, of course, our leaders. Many of them are tied into one or another secret societies, but they all have their origin in the occult. And people really ought to start thinking about it and asking, how can we have the president of our country and the man who's opposing him in the election in 2004, both belonging to the same secret society?
Exactly.
And when both of them were asked by Tim Russert at separate occasions, what about this Skull and Bone Society you belong to? And both of them said, both George Bush and John Kerry said, oh, it's so secret, we can't discuss it. Well,
right.
Why would they still be associated with this, you know, all these years out of college? This is not a regular college fraternity. This is a real secret society. You're in for life. And, of course, the difficulty is it's a Luciferian secret society. And if you doubt that, you really need to get a new book we're carrying called Satanic Crimes. And it will document from the records of people who have actually seen these ceremonies, risking their lives to get the videos of it. That book is Satanic Crimes. You need to understand what we're really up against. Certainly George Bush could come forward and renounce his membership in this Luciferian society, but I don't remember his ever doing that.
Right. I don't think people read enough. They don't go to the library. They don't read books. They watch TV. They listen to the news. They might listen to some talk radio, so-called conservative talk radio. But they don't read. They may read the newspaper, but all of that is geared towards a certain agenda. And if people would only get some of these books and read and study about these things, these are real. These are real, real things that are happening, that have happened. We need to study history. We are not living in a vacuum. If we don't learn from history, we're going to commit the same mistakes. And so we need to know what has happened in the past. We need to know about Hitler. We need to know about the revolution in Russia. And you are definitely right. In 1919, the Second World War was planned then in the Thule Society. And the Thule Society was not a bunch of ne'er-do-wells. It was rich people. It was the influential people in German society. And they found a charismatic leader who could speak with to the people and influence them and get them excited and energized.
Deanna, do you have a website you wanted to get out?
Yes, Spingola.com.
How do you spell Spingola?
S-P-I-N-G-O-L-A.
Spingola. www.spingola.com.
Right.
Deanna does a great job. You can get her articles at newswithviews.com as well. Newswithviews.com. Deanna, go ahead. You've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Okay. There's another book. I'm not sure whether you carry this yet. It's called Afghanistan After Democracy. And it's the untold story through photographic images. It's written by a Dr. Mohammed Meraki.
Oh, that just tears your heart out. We don't carry the book because it's so expensive, but it is a beautiful book. Beautifully
done. It does tear your heart out. It just does. And I think we need to know what's going on. We need to know what our government is doing in our name, because we have blood on our hands if we allow our government to continue to terrorize other countries and to terrorize us, because it's not going to end with them doing what they're doing in Iraq or doing what they plan to do in Iran. We are going to be terrorized also. There are concentration camps that have been built in this country. You can go online and just go in and Google FEMA, concentration camps, and you will come up with pictures and video about the camps that are being built. And those are not being built for illegals. These are being built for people who go against what the government is doing. It happened in Germany. It can happen here. It can happen anywhere where we allow our individual rights to be taken from us. And if we don't fight for them, they will disappear.
I think you're absolutely right. And, Chris, I would simply ask people, why do you think that just 2 weeks ago they authorized $38 million to refurbish the Japanese concentration camps that were used in 1941 and 1942 and 1943 for American citizens? And the justification for putting out the $38 million to refurbish the 10 Japanese concentration camps is, we never want the American people to forget of how terrible it was to put people in concentration camps. But if that is truly the case, then why did they give $385 million to Halliburton to build new detention camps in America? And if you doubt that, why, you go to Google, in Halliburton, $385 million concentration camps. Ladies and gentlemen, check out the facts. If we're not telling the truth, why, we want you to come on here and expose us for charlatans. If we're telling the truth, then join Deanna and the rest of us who are out here trying to get out the truth. Deanna, thank you so very much for being with us. It's been a fascinating hour. I always enjoy having you on.
Thank you very much for having me.
And I appreciate the fact you say nice things about my book.
Well, it's a wonderful book. Everybody should read it.
God bless you. Thank you so much, Deanna.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Deanna Spangola. And you can get her articles at newsreviews.com or going to www.spangola.com. But she's simply a woman who's concerned about what's going on. Are you concerned? Well, of course, if we talk about concentration camps, we were just pointing out that within the last 3 weeks, Congress authorized $385 million to refurbish the Japanese concentration camps that were used during the Second World War, because we would never want the American people to forget how terrible it was to put American citizens in concentration camps. Well, if that's the real reason that they did that, why then did they authorize $385 million for Halliburton to build new concentration camps in America? And if you doubt that, why, of course, you need to go up the net and Google in Halliburton, $385 million, detention camps or concentration camps, you'll find it's true. You need to get, of course, the 4-tape set we have on concentration camps. You need to get the concentration camp video we have, America Behind Bob Wire. Or better still, the concentration camp special, you have our permission to copy this material and get it out across America. You see, if you're not involved, you're part of the problem. You need to get the book, Hitler's Cross. You need to get our new 4-tape set on the Military Commission Act. You need to help us get the truth out about what's really going on in America. And you need to understand what really happened on 9-1-1. You need to get the videos we carry, or just go up on the internet. You can simply Google in, you know, Loose Change. Watch Loose Change. Watch this video. And then Google in Building Number 7 video and watch Building 7 come down. Are you going to believe what the government tells you? You're going to believe your lying eyes. Watch it come down half a dozen times, and you'll know what really happened on 9-1-1. And of course, then understand there are powerful spirits of forces that are going to bring God's judgment on this country unless there's revival here, unless God's people are willing to speak up, unless they're willing to have the courage of the convictions to realize, of course, you cannot get by just by being silent. You're either going to speak out now and say no, or you're going to be on your knees begging for your life and for the life of your family. Could it happen here? Of course it could, because if God is just, he's going to bring judgment on America, because men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And where is the outcry about the 500,000 Iraqi children we killed before we went to war with Iraq, during those years when we had the embargo on Iraq? If you don't believe it, go up on the internet and Google in 500,000 Iraqi children. You'll see it there. But, of course, you're never going to hear this from the controlled media. You need to get Ben Bagdakian's book, Professor Bagdakian, The New Media Monopoly. You need to understand our minds are controlled, or they're being molded. Go up on our website at RadioLiberty.com. You can listen to our programs there on the internet, directly or indirectly, 5 hours a day. Our programs are available on shortwave, and I do want to mention that as of the 15th of this month, our shortwave frequency will change. This afternoon program will be 9.480. That's 9.480. Our evening program will change to 5.755. That's 5.755. But you can, of course, listen to our programs at our website, RadioLiberty.com, live. The archive programs or the MP3 programs, get them, get other people to listen. Understand, this is not imaginary. This is not make-believe. Freedom, once lost, will never be regained. But do you really think the American people really value freedom today? We're not over in Iraq fighting for freedom. We're over there as a diversion, so you won't see that we're losing our freedom here at home. And just as Vietnam was a great diversion, we never tried to win the war. So we're not trying to win the war in Afghanistan. We're actually funding the people who are funding the Taliban who are killing American boys. It's Vietnam all over again. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Please pray for Radio Liberty. And again, our telephone number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.